Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening. This is America Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, and we're going to be joined by Selena Lindsay and a few other guests. Some of you are calling in just to listen, and that's fine. If there's anyone listening now, if you want to be heard, you would have to dial in 858-769-4936 and press 1. Again, 858-769-4936 and press 1 and you'll be on the air. Tonight's topic is schools and food allergies. Some schools do not have nurses on duty. Do the teachers know what to do in emergency situations involving food? Do the parents trust the school in handling their child that has food allergies? How widespread is this problem? How many nurses are on duty? That's our topic tonight, that we're going to be talking about food allergies, because food allergy can become a life or death situation. So, and if you don't have a plan, or recognizing and treating the allergic reaction, that can lead to death. So a plan needs to be in place. Hi, Selena. Introduce yourself.
Hi.
To the audience.
Hi, my name is Selena Lindsay. I'm a retired CPA, entrepreneur. I own a number of different businesses, like several trucking companies, Coastal Logistics, Norlabs Transportation. I participate and also the CEO of a number of different nonprofit organizations that do things to benefit the public 100% absolutely free. And we'll be talking about some of those organizations at the close of the show.
Great. You know a lot about food allergies, plus you've faced some yourself. You want to, I'll let you go ahead and have the floor.
Well, food allergies are a very interesting subject, because very often you have people that think that when you naturally have a person that has a allergic symptoms to a number of different things, such as a person that's asthmatic, very often any type of food that has dust in it or peanuts or things like this. But the important thing to know is certain types of foods. For instance, with peanuts, people that are allergic for peanuts, they actually have asphyxiation. Their throat begins to close up. And these types of things can more or less to say produce a tremendous problem. You have people that are allergic to eggs, orange juice, and more or less to say what happens. So it's important, if you're one of those people, that you make it known, and that you take it. You make just as much of a priority as a person that wears a medic alert bracelet, that you have that information onto your bracelet, so that people know what it is that you're allergic to. Because people can attempt to help you and not knowing, literally kill you because you are allergic to it. In my family, we have recently been going through one of those situations with my 3-year-old grandson, who was actually playing, and then all of a sudden he passed out. And because the mother really did not know what had happened, literally, you know, this poor little kid, in the first place, too, when you have a small child, it's important that you understand, I don't care what kind of medicine you have in your house, if you look on the back of the bottle, it clearly says, do not give to anybody under 5 years old, and to consult your physician. And the reason for that is simply this. Medication and food works differently in a small child than it does an adult. You can give a small child an aspirin and end up with somebody that has spinal meningitis. It can kill them. Whereas for an adult, basically do anything. But then again, an adult that is allergic to acetaminophen, that can be a major problem. They can have asphyxiation and break out with hives. And anyway, back to the story of my grandson. he passed out. So they called an ambulance. The ambulance proceeded to take him to a hospital. They thought that he had some type of a fever, or that there was some type of infection that he had. So they proceeded to give him antibiotics. And at that point, his legs turned blue. His system began to shut down. So now they're in a panic, because this particular hospital, and this is important stuff for people that have small children, this particular hospital, which most emergency rooms, they are not designed for children. They're designed for adults. Paul, at the ride in the ambulance, because literally they pulled out a tray that I call a cookie sheet. And I'm like, really? Are you really going to put this small child on this sheet? You don't have a bed? They don't have things that are a specialty for a very small child that is having virtually an allergic reaction. They don't know what to do. And they don't know really, because they go to doctors, don't get me wrong. They go to school. But medicine for a child, it is the reason why they call them a pediatrician. It's a whole different ballgame.
It
really is. It's a whole different ballgame. And we really experienced some of that for the last 4 or 5 days with this ballgame. Because thank God for those of you that like to know, he's okay. But it was very, very trying for the mother, if you can imagine. And all of this happened because he is allergic to something. And going back to try to find it, and one of the ways the doctors even tried to fix it, their idea was to give him more medicine. And that would have really been interesting. We couldn't find out what it was in the first place that was his problem. Now we're going to give him more medicine? And that's what
more
you have
medicine
to
might have killed him.
Right, and make decisions.
Wrong medicine.
Right, no more medicine.
No.
Yeah.
I know
the poor baby
Center of Disease Control said on their website, serious allergic reactions are caused by at least 8 different food groups: eggs, milk, fish,
mm-hmm.
crustaceans, shellfish, wheat, soy, peanuts, and tree nuts. They said 90% of the serious allergic reaction are caused by those food groups that I just mentioned. So, and they were saying that having strict guidelines and avoiding certain foods in the school setting is very important. So the school should be responsible. I know if I had a child just entering school, I would want to know, how do they handle it? You know, do the teachers know what to recognize when they're having a allergic reaction? Especially for the schools that don't have nurses, you may have one nurse on a whole campus, and at the most, 2. And I think everyone should be trained, not just the nurse knowing what to do, but all staff, anyone that's a staff person in a school setting should know what to do, because if they don't know the early warning signs and what to do, then it becomes, it can lead to death because no one knew.
And because most people, they just assume when they start to see certain kinds of things that it is A-okay, that is nothing mm-hmm. but, I can remember a small child sitting down eating a Hershey almond chocolate bar, like, is he playing? Because he's falling out on the floor. He was having a seizure, and they're like, he's clowning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're sitting
there. Yeah, and they're sitting there looking at him like, you better get up off the floor.
Because they couldn't identify what was happening.
They're not trained to recognize it.
I call that a total tragic.
Yeah, just tragic. They're not trained to watch, to recognize anything. And on top of that, where they cook things in the cafeteria, they have a failure to exercise what I call separateness. For instance, if a child is known to be allergic to things and you're in there cooking breakfast and one of those things is eggs, now wait a minute, you're going to cook the egg and then turn around and put the, you're going to put my bacon where the egg was and it has small components of the egg on it?
No, there need to, hopefully, that there's, in all schools, not just some, in all schools, staff with parents should be developed, should have developed a plan. And if they haven't, you need to develop a plan for stopping or preventing allergic reactions through education. Also plan on what to do when allergic reaction occurs and learn those early warning signs. Child can't breathe. The child breaks out in hives. The child appearance changes. You have to recognize a child that can't breathe right after they just put something in their system is allergic to whatever it is that went in their bodies, or the child that's allergic to bee stings, or any type of bug.
And never dismiss when they start to scratch or itch or say their arm or an elbow or leg is hot shortly after eating something. Don't dismiss it when you see a red patch that is gone away, because the longer whatever it is that they have eaten stays in them, then generally the worse the situation gets. It doesn't dissipate.
Yeah. There should be an automatic program set up to desensitize or stop what's happening. If the doctor recommends Benadryl, then the Benadryl has to be in the school at all times. If the doctor is recommending that they should have the EpiPen Junior, then they need to have that close by, not far away. So that, because some allergic reaction, if it's not their first time occurrence, each time the reaction to whatever it is they're allergic to is quicker, meaning the cells at the cellular level is breaking down at a rapid rate. It can break down so fast, within 5 minutes, the child's gone.
Well, it can be faster than that. I've seen kids that are allergic to citric acid. And so one of the common things that happens to a child in the school is fruit punch. Because very often children aren't drilled with the fact that it has in it oranges and strawberries and other types of things that they're allergic to. And they just get a sip of it and, their lips swell up, their eyes turn into a monster, and then they begin to break out with hives and they can't breathe.
Right. And that's where
within a matter of minutes.
And that's where it's very, very critical. If the child doesn't have something that will stop their allergic reaction, they can essentially be dead in 5 minutes. I have someone in the 909-764 just called in. Hi. Hello? Okay, we're talking about allergic reaction to food in schools and what can be done about it. The biggest thing is you have to have a plan. Without a plan, nothing. The child will lose their life. And every school has children that have allergic reactions.
Yeah, they have a plan. And this is their plan, and I'm here to tell you about their plan.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The average elementary school has in it anywhere from 1,500 to 4,500 students. And the plan is one nurse.
Wait. In one school that many students, or are you talking about for a whole school district?
I'm talking about for the one school, one little elementary school.
Okay,
they are They'll have in there 1,500 to 4,500 kids.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. When that school opens up at 8 a.m., that's how many children are there.
Oh. I'll have to see what Pomodify does.
And you know how many nurses are there? It's one maybe LVN at most of the lower poverty level elementary schools.
Not even an RN.
Not even an RN.
LVN is good. There's nothing wrong with LVN.
In Orange County, they have a nurse practitioner.
For all the
schools, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, because Orange County has poor folks too, you got to remember.
And it's hilarious to me because in a junior high school, you might have two of them. And, you know, they've got PE going on, basketball, volleyball, and most first aid stuff is dealt with by the coach or the person that is standing there at the time. There is no ready physician. That's how it's dealt with. That's the plan.
Well,
and the basic plan that they have is called don't touch them.
Yeah, but if they're a first aid responder, they're trained well enough to maintain the person or child until someone of higher level reaches the scene. So that's not a bad thing because they're the ones that's there, you know, in the beginning before anybody else. So that's not bad. What's bad is if people don't have, you know, the training that's necessary to handle the crisis when a crisis occurs. Hopefully that's not the problem.
No, most of them have something.
Mm-hmm.
But you find what I call a real something mess at preschools and elementary schools.
Yeah.
Because it's just too many kids per one individual. And they already are indoctrinated with other situations that they really can't isolate themselves to something else. So, for instance, how many kids are in there with a fever and they're calling mom and dad and situating them? They're already busy because of the amount of people in that school. They're already busy with that. And then you have this one or that one that they need to look at and make a determination as to what they're going to do about it. You know, and you go in their place,
well,
it's like Vietnam.
Well, the schools have guidelines. If a child has a fever and the parent doesn't get there within so many minutes or within, I think it's either 20 or 30 minutes, the paramedics are called. They do not waste time.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. They're not going to. Because, you know, they're not doctors and nurses, and that's considered a medical emergency already. And, you know, they can't give Tylenol, you can't do this and that, so.
They can't even give them their own medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because of liability issues. I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm. So it's very important. I think the biggest thing that I want to highlight, I've mentioned the 8 food groups, but the parents and the staff need to have a plan. Without a plan, be it elementary, junior high, or high school, that's where things begin to break down and fall apart. First of all, you have to have ways to prevent the allergic reaction, but even that is not going to be 100% foolproof. You're going to have educators, all of those that are working with the kids, not just the teachers, all the staff need to know the warning signs. They need to know if they're breaking out in hives. This is not normal. They need to know if they can't breathe. Something's that's not good either. Or their face is swelling up. Their lips are swelling up. Or their eyes are swelling. Those are not normal occurrences. And provided, hopefully, I'm not sure how the schools are set up at this point of this broadcast. Hopefully, there is a plan in place. And if there's not, then any parent listening to this broadcast needs to check with their schools and find out what is their plan. And if there's not a plan, see to it that a plan is put in place, because allergic reactions, especially your serious ones, can be totally life-threatening. And parents have to be responsible for having whatever's going to reverse that allergic reaction. They must have the medicine at the school, not down the block because they live so close, because time is what you don't have. You can go into what they call anaphylactic shock quickly when you don't reverse what's happening to the child. Again, this is America Health Crisis. I'm your host, Paulette Young. You've been listening to Selena Lindsay and myself. If you want to, you can contribute to the conversation if you like. Call 858-769-4936 and press 1. Once you press the 1, then you are on the air for all of us to hear. You can make a statement, or if you have a question, we'd be more than glad to answer it. We're on every Monday at 8 p.m., and it's through Blog Talk Radio. This is American Health Crisis, the name of the program. And every Monday at that time for 30 minutes, we talk about different health issues, things that the public need to be aware of. And so tonight we chose to talk about the food allergies in the school. Coming up with a plan to reverse these allergic reactions hasn't been enforced or been recognized like for years and years and years. When I was young, you didn't have none of this even mentioned, and there weren't any rules and regulations as far as what the school was responsible for. Now, here in California, especially for preschool and daycare, they have a food program, and they address the issue of food allergies, and the educators are taught what to do to help avoid various situations when it comes to food allergies. We have a few more minutes. Selena Lindsay comes with a vast amount of information. She's involved with, I've lost count of various nonprofit organizations that do a tremendous amount of work with the public. So we're going to take out the last part of the broadcast so she can have a pen and pencil ready so you can call some of these places she's going to mention. Go ahead, Selena.
Okay, one of the first ones we want to talk about, and I guess you would put that heading under art, culture, and entertainment, a nonprofit called One Love. And primarily what they're doing over there is they do films which are designed to heal the soul and educate the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And their motto is, if we save our children, we can change the world. And basically what they do is they help kids with sexual abuse. The leader over there and the chief at the camp is, her name is Tuesday Connors. Mrs. Connors can be reached at area code 818-714-4242. The next organization I'd like to talk about would be Positive Choices Youth Organization, which is run by Wanda Parker. They are located at 500 Benton Avenue in Pomona, California. And her specialty is literacy and mothers with children at home, latchkey kids, after-school programs, and various other things to help mothers learn how to cook food for their kids and how to teach kids how to cook. You can reach Wanda at area code 951-714-8944. The next organization we're going to talk about is primarily put together to assist veterans with homing and health issues, a place to stay, being able to get medical assistance. This organization is called INFO, and you can look it all up on the Internet by going to this website, info at nbrccs.org, and it's run by LaShonda Jones. And you can reach LaShonda at this number, 909-329-8288. The next organization I'm going to talk about is an organization which I am a director over there. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life. Sowing Seeds for Life is the second largest food bank in Southern California. Our basic motto is that no one should be going hungry or going through food stress. If you have a problem or something that you're going through, we give out food on the first and the third Wednesday of every month. We also have clothes and shoes on various different dates. If you'd like to donate, you can contact Fran Robinson at area code 909-293-5, extension 232. Again, the website is also www.sowingseedsforlifespellitallout.org. The next organization we'd like to talk about would be One.org. And primarily, this organization is put together to fight world poverty. And one of the heads of that is Malaya. You may remember her. This is the Indian girl that stood up to stop what was going on in her country, and they would not allow girls to do anything. But this organization is to stop the spread of HIV. You can contact this organization by just going to one.org. They have a number of different things and informational panels and things that you can go through. If you need help or you need medication, they'll give you assistance. Next organization I'd like to talk about is called YourLifeYourVoice.org. And what they do there is it has campus leaders. They help with indiscretionary research and education. They try to encourage individuals. They have partnership programs so that people that are depressed, especially teenagers, and if you have bullies, this is what they specialize in. Please contact YourLifeYourVoice.org. And last but not least, it's called Camp Corral. And Camp Corral is a camp that specializes for military children with the priority given to wounded and disabled or fallen military families. Please contact Camp Corral by going to www.campcorral.org. And there you will see all of the different things that they do for kids. They're located all over the United States. Wonderful, wonderful organization. In closing, I always have a little statement, and my little statement today is, I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people very uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I've worked really hard to do. I take risks and I use myself. I tell life stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses and mistakes, along with embarrassment. I choose me as the guinea pig. And all of this is a belief to help those that can't help themselves. I am Selena Ann Lindsay. To all of you within the sound of my voice, I bid you good night.
Selena, and we'll be back on the air, American Health Crisis, next Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. with another hot topic. So join us. All you have to do is call in 858-769-4936 and then press 1 if you want to talk. If not, you can just listen, and that's fine too. Thank you.